A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. Continuing the basic life skills series, he wants us to talk about chores and home maintenance. The actual question is, what are the key things you need to do to keep your place in good condition? Not the deep renovation stuff, not the call a contractor emergencies. The regular, keep it from falling apart rhythm of taking care of where you live.
I love this topic because most people learn this by trial and error, or they learn it from a parent who may or may not have known what they were doing. There's actually a real body of knowledge here. The Family Handyman has been publishing this stuff for decades. Bob Vila's team has excellent seasonal checklists. The Spruce has a whole maintenance calendar. It's not just folk wisdom anymore.
Before we dive in, quick note. Today's script is coming to us courtesy of DeepSeek V4 Pro. There, I said it.
So let's actually start with the thing that separates people who live in a place that works from people who live in a place that's slowly disintegrating around them. Not a vague, I'll get to it intention, an actual recurring schedule. The Spruce breaks this down into monthly, seasonal, and annual tasks, and the logic is pretty sound. Monthly stuff is your high-touch, high-wear items. Seasonal is your weather-dependent stuff, gutters, HVAC, outdoor maintenance. Annual is the deep systems check, water heater flushing, chimney inspection, that kind of thing.
I'm going to push back on this a little, because I think for a lot of people, hearing monthly, seasonal, annual checklist just sounds like homework they're never going to do. What's the actual minimum viable set here? If someone's doing nothing right now, what are the first five things they should start with?
If you're starting from zero, the Family Handyman Guide is really clear on this. The highest impact, lowest effort tasks cluster around water, air, and filters. Water damage is the number one destroyer of homes, and it's almost always slow leaks that nobody noticed for 6 months. Air quality and HVAC efficiency directly affect your health and your utility bills. And filters are the cheapest insurance you can buy for your appliances.
Water, air, filters. That's the trinity.
That's the trinity. Let me break each one down. Water first. You want to check under every sink twice a year. Not just glance, actually put your hand on the pipe, feel for moisture, look for any discoloration on the cabinet floor. The Spruce recommends checking sink and toilet shutoff valves too, those little oval handles behind the toilet and under the sink. They can seize up if you never turn them, and then when you actually need to shut off water in an emergency, you can't.
I have absolutely been there. The valve is frozen solid, water's spraying everywhere, and suddenly you're running to the main shutoff in the basement.
And do you know where your main water shutoff is?
I do now. I didn't always.
Most people don't. Bob Vila's checklist puts this right at the top. Know where your main water shutoff is, know where your electrical panel is, know where your gas shutoff is. Three locations, 5 minutes of your life, and it can save tens of thousands of dollars in water damage.
That's actually a good framing. It's not about doing 100 things. It's about knowing the 3 emergency shutoffs and checking the slow leak zones twice a year.
And on the air side, this is where people really underestimate the impact. Your HVAC filter needs to be changed every 1 to 3 months, depending on the type and whether you have pets. A clogged filter doesn't just make your air dirtier, it makes your system work harder, which increases your energy bill and shortens the life of the equipment. We're talking about a $10 filter potentially saving you a $5,000 compressor replacement.
That's one of those things where the cost of neglect is invisible until it's catastrophic. The system just runs a little hotter, a little longer, and then one day it doesn't run at all.
It always fails on the hottest or coldest day of the year because that's when the system is under maximum load. The Spruce recommends setting a recurring phone reminder for filter changes. You don't need willpower, you just need a notification.
What about the other air systems people forget? Bathroom exhaust fans, dryer vents.
The bathroom exhaust fan. Clean the grill and housing twice a year. Dust and lint reduce airflow. Moisture doesn't vent properly, and eventually you've got mold. The dryer vent is even more critical. Lint buildup in dryer vents is a leading cause of house fires. You need to clean the lint trap after every load, but you also need to clean the vent pipe itself at least once a year.
That's the one that runs through the wall or up through the roof that nobody ever thinks about.
Nobody thinks about it until the dryer takes twice as long to dry a load, and even then people just assume the dryer's getting old. You could buy a dryer vent cleaning kit for about $25, a long flexible brush that attaches to a drill. 10 minutes of work once a year.
Water and air we've covered. Filters, you mentioned HVAC, but there are other filters in a home that people forget about entirely.
Refrigerator water filter, if you have one, typically every 6 months. Range hood filter, the mesh thing above your stove that's probably caked in grease right now. That needs cleaning monthly if you cook regularly, and a lot of them are dishwasher safe. The spruce also calls out the dishwasher filter itself. Most people don't know their dishwasher has a filter. It's usually at the bottom, under the spray arm, catching food particles. If you never clean it, your dishes stop getting clean and your dishwasher starts to smell.
I genuinely did not know dishwashers had filters until embarrassingly recently.
You're not alone. That's one of the top 5 things people learn about home maintenance and feel mildly betrayed that nobody told them earlier.
All right. So we've established the Trinity. Water, air, filters. What's the next tier?
Seals and caulking. This connects back to water. The spruce recommends inspecting caulking around sinks, tubs, and showers twice a year. Caulk fails over time. It dries out, cracks, pulls away from the surface. Water gets behind it, seeping into the wall or subfloor. That's how a $30 tube of caulk turns into a $3,000 bathroom repair.
Caulking is one of those skills that's easy to learn. It's not like electrical work where you can hurt yourself. It's basically a caulk gun and a wet finger.
The Bob Vila Guide emphasizes that prep work is 90% of a good caulk job. Remove all the old caulk completely, clean the surface, make sure it's bone dry, then apply the new bead. Skip the prep and you'll be doing it again in 6 months.
What about weather stripping and exterior seals?
That's the seasonal version of the same principle. Before winter, check the weather stripping around doors and windows. The family handyman points out that a gap of just 1/8 of an inch around a door is equivalent to having a 6-inch hole in your wall in terms of air leakage. Weather stripping is cheap, usually peel and stick, and the payback in energy savings is almost immediate.
That 6-inch hole comparison is vivid. I'm going to remember that one.
It's one of those stats that makes you immediately want to go check every door in your house.
Let's talk about gutters, because that's the chore everyone hates and everyone puts off.
Gutters are the unglamorous hero of home maintenance. If your gutters are clogged, water overflows and lands right at the foundation. Over time, that can cause foundation cracks, basement leaks, all kinds of expensive problems. The spruce recommends cleaning gutters twice a year, late fall after leaves drop, and spring to clear out anything that accumulated over winter.
If you have pine trees near your house, you might need to do it more often. Pine needles are gutter killers.
Pine needles are the worst. They slip right past basic gutter guards and form dense mats that block water completely. The good news is that gutter cleaning technology has improved. Extendable pressure washer wands, leaf blower attachments, even robot gutter cleaners. It's not just stand on a ladder with a trowel anymore.
Although standing on a ladder with a trowel is still the most common method, and ladder safety is its own whole thing.
Ladder safety is absolutely part of home maintenance. The basic rule, always maintain 3 points of contact, never stand on the top 2 rungs, and don't lean past the side rails. Falls from ladders send something like 160,000 people to the emergency room every year in the United States. Almost all preventable, usually overconfidence.
All right, let's shift to indoor surfaces. Floors, counters, the things you touch every day.
Grout sealing is a big one that gets overlooked. Unsealed grout is porous. It absorbs water, soap scum, whatever gets spilled. Over time, it stains, degrades, and eventually you're looking at regrouting, which is a much bigger job. The spruce recommends sealing grout once a year in bathrooms, every 2 to 3 years in lower moisture areas.
Is grout sealing a DIY thing or a hire someone thing?
Grout sealer comes in a spray bottle or brush-on applicator. The key is making sure the grout is clean and completely dry before you apply. Maybe an hour of work for a typical bathroom, most of that waiting for things to dry.
What about hardwood floors? People spend a lot of money on them and then treat them like they're indestructible.
The biggest enemy of hardwood is grit. Tiny particles of sand and dirt act like sandpaper every time you walk on them, so the number one maintenance task is just frequent sweeping or vacuuming with a brush attachment. Beyond that, recoat the finish every 3 to 5 years depending on traffic, a light screening and a new coat of polyurethane, not a full sand, and refinish.
I feel like that's the cheapest insurance for hardwood floors.
Felt pads under every chair leg, every table leg, anything that moves. They cost pennies and prevent scratches that would cost hundreds to fix.
Let's talk about appliances, because these are the workhorses of a home, and people tend to ignore them until they break.
Refrigerator coils are the classic example. The condenser coils, usually behind a grill at the bottom or on the back, collect dust and pet hair. When they're coated, the compressor runs longer and hotter. The family handyman recommends cleaning those coils twice a year. It's a 5-minute job with a vacuum and a coil brush, and it can extend the life of your refrigerator by years.
I've done this exactly once, and the amount of dust that came out was alarming.
It's always alarming. The other big appliance maintenance item is the washing machine. Front loaders in particular need attention. The rubber door gasket traps moisture and detergent residue, and that's how you get the mildew smell. Wipe down the gasket after every load, leave the door open so it dries out, and run a cleaning cycle with washing machine cleaner or white vinegar once a month.
Leaving the door open is the one that conflicts with people's aesthetic preferences. Nobody wants their laundry room to look like an appliance is gaping open.
That's exactly why so many front loaders smell like a swamp. The manufacturers all say to leave the door open, but people close it because it looks neater, and then the mildew takes hold.
What about the water heater? That's completely out of sight and out of mind until you're taking a cold shower.
The Spruce recommends flushing your water heater once a year. Sediment builds up at the bottom, minerals from the water supply. That layer acts as insulation between the burner and the water, reducing efficiency and causing hot spots that can lead to premature failure. Flushing is straightforward. Attach a garden hose to the drain valve, run it to a floor drain or outside, and let the tank drain until the water runs clear.
There's a sacrificial anode rod in there too, right?
The anode rod is a metal rod, usually magnesium or aluminum, designed to corrode so the tank itself doesn't. The family handyman recommends checking it every 2 to 3 years. If it's more than 50% corroded, replace it. A replacement anode rod costs maybe $30. A new water heater costs $500 to $1,500 plus installation.
That's the theme of this whole conversation, isn't it? Small, cheap maintenance tasks that prevent enormous, expensive failures.
That's exactly the theme. Home maintenance is fundamentally deferred cost avoidance. Every dollar you spend on maintenance saves you somewhere between $5 and $20 in repairs down the line. The Spruce has this framing I really like. Your home is probably the most expensive asset you'll ever own, and yet most people spend more time maintaining their car than their house.
People are religious about oil changes and tire rotations, but they'll ignore a dripping faucet for a year.
That dripping faucet, a faucet that drips once per second, wastes about 3,000 gallons of water per year, according to the EPA's WaterSense program. That's not just money down the drain, it's also putting unnecessary strain on your plumbing and water heater.
Fixing a dripping faucet is usually just replacing a washer or a cartridge. It's a $10 part and maybe 20 minutes of work.
The Bob Vila guide walks through this clearly. For a compression faucet, it's usually a worn rubber washer. For a cartridge faucet, it's the whole cartridge assembly. The key is identifying what type of faucet you have before you take it apart, because the parts aren't interchangeable.
There's basically a tutorial for every faucet ever made.
YouTube has democratized home repair in a way that's transformative. 20 years ago, if you didn't have a handy parent or neighbor, you were calling a plumber for everything. Now you can watch someone fix your exact model of faucet in real time, pause it, rewind it, and follow along step by step.
Let's talk about seasonal stuff, because some maintenance tasks are time sensitive, and missing the window means waiting another 6 months.
The big seasonal items are HVAC servicing, outdoor maintenance, and winterization. For HVAC, the Spruce recommends having your air conditioning professionally serviced in spring before the cooling season, and your heating system serviced in fall. A professional tune-up catches small problems before they become breakdowns and keeps the system running at peak efficiency.
The outdoor stuff, lawns, decks, exterior surfaces.
Deck maintenance is a good one. If you have a wood deck, it needs cleaning and sealing every 2 to 3 years. The family handyman recommends a thorough cleaning with a deck cleaner, not a pressure washer, which can damage the wood, followed by a penetrating sealer or stain. The sealer protects against UV damage and moisture, both of which will warp and crack the wood over time.
If you have a composite deck, you're not off the hook either.
Composite decks get mold and mildew just like anything else that sits outside in the shade. A soft bristle brush and some soapy water, maybe a dedicated composite deck cleaner, and you're done. Much lower maintenance than wood, but not zero maintenance.
What about the exterior of the house itself?
The spruce recommends an annual exterior inspection. Walk around the entire house once a year and look for cracks in the siding, peeling paint, gaps around windows and doors, any signs of water intrusion. Look up at the roof line. Any shingles missing or curling? Look down at the foundation. Any new cracks? Catch these things early and they're patch jobs. Let them go and they become structural problems.
The roof itself, that's the one that terrifies people because it's expensive and hard to inspect.
You don't need to climb on the roof to do a basic inspection. You can see a lot from the ground with binoculars. Look for missing or damaged shingles, sagging areas, flashing around chimneys and vents. The family handyman also recommends going into the attic during a rainstorm and looking for any signs of water, dark spots on the wood, damp insulation, actual drips. That tells you exactly where the leak is before it becomes a ceiling stain.
That's a smart tip. Catch the leak while it's happening rather than waiting for the evidence to show up inside the living space.
Roof leaks don't get better on their own. A small leak that could be patched for a couple $100 becomes a roof replacement when the decking rots out.
Let's pivot a little and talk about the mindset of home maintenance. Because I think for a lot of people, the barrier isn't knowledge, it's motivation. The tasks aren't hard, but they're boring, and the payoff is invisible. How do you actually get yourself to do this stuff?
This is where the checklist approach really shines, and it's not just about remembering what to do. It's about the psychological satisfaction of checking something off. The Spruce has a printable seasonal checklist. Bob Vila has one. There are apps that gamify this. The point is to make the invisible visible. When you complete a task and check it off, you get that little dopamine hit, and over time you build momentum.
I think there's also something to be said for habit stacking. Attach a maintenance task to something you already do regularly.
When you change your clocks for daylight saving time, change your smoke detector batteries. When you do your spring cleaning, add clean refrigerator coils to the list. When you're already in the basement doing laundry, take 30 seconds to glance at the water heater and make sure there's no water pooled around the base.
That water heater glance is a great example of a zero-effort check. You're already there.
That's how you catch a leak when it's a puddle instead of a flood. The family handyman calls these visual inspections, things you don't need tools for, you just need to look. Check under sinks. Look at the ceiling for water stains. Scan the foundation for cracks. These take seconds.
What about tools? I think some people avoid maintenance because they feel like they don't have the right equipment.
You can do 80% of home maintenance with a surprisingly small toolkit. The Bob Vila Guide recommends a claw hammer, a set of screwdrivers in multiple sizes, an adjustable wrench, slip joint pliers, a utility knife, a tape measure, a level, and a cordless drill. That's maybe $150 total if you buy decent but not premium tools, and it'll handle almost everything we've talked about today.
Plus a caulk gun and a ladder.
Caulk gun is $10. A good stepladder is maybe $80 to $120, so for under $400, you're equipped to handle the vast majority of routine maintenance tasks. Compare that to one emergency plumber visit.
The economics really do make the case for themselves. What about safety gear?
Safety glasses, work gloves, and a basic N95 mask for dusty jobs. Maybe knee pads if you're going to be doing anything on the floor. Eye injuries from DIY. Projects are incredibly common and almost entirely preventable with $5 safety glasses.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about the main shutoffs. I think that deserves more emphasis because it's the most important 5 minutes anyone can spend on home maintenance.
Every person living in a home should know three things: where the main water shutoff is and how to turn it, where the electrical panel is and how to flip the main breaker, and where the gas shutoff is and how to turn it, usually requiring a wrench. Shut off the water. Electrical fire starting, kill the main breaker. Shut off the gas and get out.
The gas shutoff is the one that's least intuitive. It's usually a valve on the gas meter that requires a quarter turn with a wrench. Most people don't know that, and they don't keep a wrench near the meter.
The Spruce actually recommends keeping a dedicated wrench zip tied to the gas meter itself, so it's always right there when you need it. That's the kind of specific, actionable tip that can save lives.
Let's talk about fire safety more broadly. Smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, fire extinguishers.
Smoke detectors should be tested monthly. There's literally a test button, and batteries replaced at least once a year. The units themselves have a lifespan. Most smoke detectors need replacement every 10 years. Carbon monoxide detectors every 5 to 7 years. The date of manufacture is printed on the back. If you're renting, this is your landlord's responsibility legally, but checking it yourself takes 30 seconds.
Fire extinguishers. People buy them and then never think about them again.
Fire extinguishers have expiration dates and pressure gauges. Check the gauge monthly to make sure the needle is in the green zone. Most dry chemical extinguishers need replacement or professional recharging every 6 to 12 years. And know how to use 1. The PASS method, pull the pin, aim at the base of the fire, squeeze the handle, sweep side to side. But honestly, if a fire is bigger than a wastebasket, just get out and call the fire department.
That's a good reality check. The fire extinguisher is for small, contained fires that you catch immediately.
And that leads to another maintenance item people overlook, your escape plan. The Bob Vila checklist includes reviewing your family fire escape plan twice a year. Know two ways out of every room, have a designated meeting spot outside, make sure everyone in the household knows the plan. It's not a physical repair, but it's absolutely home maintenance in the broader sense of keeping the people in the home safe.
What about pest prevention? That feels like a maintenance topic that straddles the line between cleaning and actual repair.
Pest prevention is mostly about denying entry and denying food. The family handyman is very practical. Seal cracks and gaps around pipes, vents, and the foundation using expanding foam, caulk, or steel wool depending on the gap size. Keep firewood stacked away from the house. It's a termite buffet sitting right next to your foundation. Keep tree branches trimmed back from the roof. They're highways for rodents. And inside, don't leave food out. Take out the trash regularly, and don't let dishes pile up.
The tree branch thing is one of those, I never would have thought of that. Items, but it makes perfect sense once you hear it.
Rodents are excellent climbers. A branch touching your roof is basically a welcome mat. And once they're in the attic, they chew wires. That's a fire hazard. They contaminate insulation, and they're incredibly difficult to get rid of.
Let's talk about some of the less obvious maintenance items that don't make the standard checklists, but probably should.
One that comes to mind is cleaning your refrigerator's door gasket. That rubber seal around the door gets caked with food residue and grime, and when it degrades, the door doesn't seal properly. Your fridge works harder, food spoils faster, energy bills go up. The Spruce recommends cleaning it with warm, soapy water every 3 months and checking for cracks or tears.
What about the garbage disposal? That's an appliance that gets a lot of abuse.
Garbage disposals need periodic cleaning. The easiest method is ice cubes and rock salt. Dump a couple cups of ice and a handful of rock salt into the disposal. Run cold water and turn it on. The ice and salt scour the grinding chamber and impellers, knocking off built-up sludge. Follow with citrus peels if you want it to smell nice. Do this once a month and your disposal will last significantly longer.
What should people absolutely not put down the disposal?
The big ones are grease and oil. They solidify in the pipes. Fibrous vegetables like celery and asparagus, coffee grounds in large quantities, and anything that expands like pasta or rice. The family handyman is blunt. A garbage disposal is not a trash can. It's for the small bits of food that get rinsed off plates, not for disposing of entire meals.
Coffee grounds are the one that surprises people. They seem so innocuous.
They seem innocuous, but they accumulate in the trap and create a sludge that's incredibly difficult to clear. Plumbers love coffee grounds because they generate so much business.
What about exterior maintenance that's not seasonal? The stuff you just need to do periodically, regardless of the weather.
Driveway and walkway maintenance is worth mentioning. If you have an asphalt driveway, it needs sealing every 2 to 3 years to prevent cracks from water intrusion and freeze-thaw cycles. Concrete driveways should be cleaned and inspected for cracks that need patching. Small cracks can be filled with a tube of concrete patch for a few dollars, but if you let them go, they widen, and eventually you're replacing entire sections.
Freeze-thaw is the mechanism that makes small cracks into big problems, right? Water gets in, freezes, expands, and frees the crack wider.
Water is the enemy in so many different ways. It freezes and expands, it promotes rotten mold, it erodes foundations, it rusts metal. If you take nothing else from this conversation, take this. Water is your home's number one adversary, and most maintenance tasks are fundamentally about controlling where water goes and keeping it away from things it can damage.
That's a good unifying principle. Almost everything we've talked about. Gutters, caulking, roof inspection, grading around the foundations, sealing decks, checking under sinks, it all comes back to water.
The family handyman has this line that I think about a lot. Water always wins. It will find the path of least resistance, it will exploit every weakness, and it never stops. Your job as a homeowner is not to defeat water, you can't, but to manage it, redirect it, and stay ahead of it.
What's the one maintenance task you think has the highest ratio of importance to how often it's neglected?
I think it's cleaning the dryer vent. It's a fire hazard that kills people every year, the fix is simple and cheap, and almost nobody does it. Fire Administration reports about 2,900 dryer fires annually, causing an estimated 5 deaths, 100 injuries, and $35 million in property loss. The leading cause is failure to clean the vent.
Those are sobering numbers.
Almost entirely preventable. A dryer vent cleaning brush costs $25. $25 versus the worst case scenario.
All right, let's wrap this up with a practical framework. If someone listening wants to go from zero to competent on home maintenance, what's the 30-day plan?
Week 1. Locate your emergency shutoffs. Water main, electrical panel, gas valve. Test them to make sure they work. Week 2. Change every filter in your home. HVAC, range hood, dishwasher, refrigerator, water filter if you have one. Week 3. Do a water audit. Check under every sink, check around every toilet, check the water heater for any signs of leaks. Week 4, clean your dryer vent and test all your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. That's 4 weekends of maybe an hour each, and you've covered the highest impact, highest neglect items.
That's a solid plan. And after that, set up a seasonal rhythm. Spring and fall, do the outdoor and HVAC stuff. Monthly, do the filters and the visual inspections.
Write it down somewhere. The Spruce has a great printable checklist, there are apps for this, or you can just put recurring reminders in your phone. The system doesn't matter as long as the system exists.
I think that's the note to end on. Home maintenance isn't about being handy or having special skills. It's about having a system and sticking to it.
It's boring, it's unglamorous, and it will save you tens of thousands of dollars over the life of your home. That's the trade-off.
No, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In Turkish oil wrestling, or Yagli Gurik, the wrestlers coat themselves in olive oil before competing. The oil makes grips extremely difficult, which is why matches can last for hours. The current record stands at over 7 hours, set in the Kirk Pinar Festival. The oil also oxidizes on the skin over the course of a match, darkening slightly as it reacts with air, which is why wrestlers appear to change color as the bout progresses.
7 hours of oil wrestling.
A long time to be slippery.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.